We've been using soils for years to meet the standards of in Indiana for our science standards, and not only science but others. And so now we're starting to get the push of, we want this to go into media. We want to use YouTube. We want to use maybe Facebook. We want to use all of these tools to get into the students' heads and so forth. And so this is kind of the premise. But my whole idea is that you can do that, but if you don't have the basics first, then you basically get lost. And at Purdue, we basically find out that nothing does it better than soils. I mean, you can teach all of these curriculum with soils. And if you just look at the soil that's on the screen, you can take the monolith process, modify it a little bit, and this is actually an art piece that can hang on the wall. You take the clays, you can make paint. Kids are using it to paint in their classroom. You can use the sand coming from the soil, and you can use sand, make sand paintings and so forth. So that just gets it started. And we basically say you have to start with the basics. And it needs to be something that engages the students so that they're happy, that they're learning, and that they're involved. And if you can get that done, then you've been a success. And just this last week while we've been here, I was here with the students. We came on Friday. And we had a seminar on media. And one of the things that was said is that we are the immigrants, and this next generation are the natives when we look at electronic media. And so we have to get into their head and into their media and so forth to get some of these things done. So if we start with the basics, and we start with soil formation factors, and what can you tell just by looking at a monolith? And one of the standards, or one of the things that we do at Purdue, and our students really enjoy doing it, is actually the process of pulling a monolith and being able to use it in the classroom. We have about 350 of these at Purdue University, and our students want to have their name on the side of that monolith so that they go on into posterity. It's on display, and it's out in the hall. And when students come in, grad students from other universities, they say that they didn't know what soils were like until they saw these monoliths, and they can use them because they've been taught out of a book so many times. So when we look at a monolith and we talk about soil formation, you can tell all of those things. We talk about native vegetation, the depth of the horizon or the surface horizon. We can talk about age, and we're going to refer to that at the very end. There's a quote from a little boy that basically will kind of pull that together. But we can go on into drainage, and we look at the subsoil and so forth. And we take the information that the students are using to basically learn about drainage. And then right away, we apply it. So, okay, now you know what drainage is. And actually, I tell them to take a deep breath, blow it out, look at their fingernails. Are you a nice bright color? Are you gray and blue? And so that kind of gets them thinking about, how am I like soils? I'm aerated. Oh, soils are aerated. They're bright colors and so forth. And so it's basically, you know, getting them engaged. They're thinking about what they can do with it. Then we go right into, where do you want to build a house? And this pulls in some of the standards of occupations. In the sixth grade in Indiana, they're supposed to start talking about what are jobs that you might be able to get and might be able to do. And so we talk about being certified. We have certified soil scientists that come out and look at your soil. Is this where you should build a house? Why should we build a house there? So they're looking at the soils with the colors in the subsoil, and they want to tell where they want to put a house with a basement so that it doesn't get wet. And is this where we should put a septic system? And so already they're pulling that into play. And we hit climate. And then we do something a little bit innovative when we talk about parent material. I tell them to look at their right and look at their left. Why don't they look at the person, look just like the person beside them? And so they think about it, and then we start talking about parent material. So right now I'd like everybody here, just interlace your fingers like this, okay? And I want you to look at the thumb that's on the top. You have inherited that tendency from a parent, okay? Now take your hands apart and try to lace it the other way. How does it feel?
Wrong,
exactly right. Because you are not genetically disposed to have your hands folded that way. And it doesn't make any difference if you're right-handed or left-handed. It's a single gene trait. So we're pulling, I'm pulling in things from some of our other agronomic majors and so forth in agronomy to make a point. And so the kids are basically checking with each other, with their parents that come for a field day, and they're seeing which parent they look most like. So we pull in texture, and we can hit some of the English standards right there. The kids are learning adjectives. How do I describe these things? The younger kids are learning shapes, and they're learning tactile disciplines and so forth. As we get a little bit older, we start talking about water holding capacity. We talk about particle size, and we go right from there into my favorite thing, which is clay properties. And we talk about why is it important for the pharmacologist to know what type of clay he's using, and he's holding calamine lotion. Why wouldn't we want to use calamine lotion and kaopectate? And the kids basically get it figured out. Infiltration. How does clay affect that? How does sand affect it? They get dirty, they take a bath. They get my water dirty, how do I clean it? Then we get into the water cycle. And they basically find out that they're drinking the same water that dinosaurs drank, and they sometimes get grossed out. But we talk about 4 feet of good soil and you're all set. And they see how the soil basically is cleaned up in just 2 inches. We talk about expansion and why clays are unique, and they're really thrilled. They like fire. And so we take some vermiculite, we expand it, we compare it to mica, and then the products that are made from those things and so forth, and it ties those together. We actually make a little bit of kaopectate, that's the white fluid that you're seeing poured out, and then we have the montmorillonitic or the bentonitic clay that just is not coming out. Same amount of water, same amount of clay, but it just doesn't have the same effect. Then we talk about chemical movement. And the younger kids really like to do the chromatograph. The older kids do too, and we've actually taken that now and it's adapted, and they get to make a tattoo. Before I do the tattoo, I've slimed them, and so they have clay on the palm of their hand. And I have them take the chromatograph, and they put it on the back of their hand, and they put the other hand on top. They take it off, they peel it off, and they see that they have 2 tattoos. Why is the one in their palm stronger? Why is it brighter? What's on that palm that's not on the back of your hand? It's the clay, and the clay pulls the water off. It's once it has an affinity for that water. And then we can talk about nitrogen movement, about fertilizer applications. Then we get into the nitrogen cycle and so forth. And why do we apply our anhydrous ammonia for the agriculture kids? And this was one that our FFA group really liked. John Graville and I just did a workshop for the teachers. And one thing that was interesting, when they walked in the room, they started sitting in the back, and we said, if you want to be part of the presentation, you need to come up in the front where there are things. There are things that you're going to feel, things you're going to do. They all came up and said, you mean it's not just a PowerPoint? And they were just really pleased that they were going to get to do things, they were going to see how things worked, and they could take it back into their classroom. So where does that movement come from? Well, it comes from the charge. So now we get into some of the soil physics and some of the and more of the soil chemistry and so forth. And it doesn't make any difference if they're seniors in high school, if they're parents, which actually we have field trips that come to the farm. And our field trip is known for having parents that want to come back because they enjoy it as much as their kids do. And so they're amazed when they take these 2 electrodes, put it down in this clay slurry, they pull it up and they find out what the charge of the soil is. For the younger kids, we just talk about opposites attracting. It's not for the faint of heart. We pull our students in to help us do this, and the kids are all clay particles. And so you see their negative charges grabbing a hold of one of our undergraduate students, one of our agronomy club members, and he is the blue dye that's going down through the soil. And so, like I said, not for the faint of heart. When you talk about groundwater and so forth, we can talk also about acid rain. And so we pull in earth and atmospheric sciences and so forth, and we hit some of their standards. And we also, we start with the acid rain and groundwater. We talk about the nitrogen cycle and so forth. And then we bring that into soil pH. And they do actual pHs on soils. And we did some training with the National Guard that are now in Afghanistan trying to rebuild the soils and work on things. We talk about erosion, and in third grade it's introduced. And so they just get started with it. And several years ago, our Soil and Water Conservation District came up with these water tables, and they were phenomenal. They were really neat, but the teachers complained about them because they were too big, they couldn't store them, and they started leaking. Now what do we do with them? So we take a Gatorade bottle, cut it in half, put the soil in it, and the kids are basically, well, we have a rain man, we have the river, and we have the soil. And so we can get three kids involved in each one of those principles, and then the rain man starts, and they see the runoff. And the younger kids, basically, that's all we talk about. With the older kids, then we start talking about sediment contamination. We talk about runoff and how that plays into nutrient contamination and so forth. And then we basically talk about building hypothesis. What's going to happen if we take that silt and we toss it into the air? And we now have detachment and transport by wind, and so we have wind erosion. And this happened to be at Senator Lugar's initiative of sustainability at the Children's Museum in Indianapolis. And so we got to work with them. So after we have the basics covered, then let's start with the media. And Dr. Van Skoik has worked with Dr. Schultz, and Daryl Schultz has been the key man on putting together an IC program. And so we bring the kids, if they're high school kids, we bring them into our Soils Resource Center. So they've been in another room doing all the experiments hands-on. Then we bring them in where we have 28 computers, and the students basically can go in and they start looking at the soil beneath their feet. And they have to key in and first try to find their own house, and then they start looking for soil properties. So just what is under my feet? And we talked about parent materials, so you know what a parent material is and why soils can be different. And now they can see what the different parent materials are in the state of Indiana. Then we go from there to the web, we go to the web soil survey. And they can dig deeper. They can get into that, into all the things that they can find in the soil surveys. And they learn about the rectangular survey system. They learn about what how the polygons and so forth work and where their soils are and so forth, and then they can learn more and more and more and dig deeper into that. We know that not every student that we have comes from Indiana, so with Web Soil Survey we can reach out to kids that are any place in the United States. And we did this with a minorities camp that we had this last summer, and we had kids from Arizona, we had them from California, from Florida, and they basically were learning the web soil survey. And we did find that the kids prefer to actually start with the book first, even though we think they're so media savvy. They like the book because that's something they can flip back and forth with, they can see what's there, they can find out how it goes. And if you just open up Web Soil Survey, then it's there and they don't know what's there and what's available, and they were getting frustrated. So by giving them a hard copy and letting them work through that first, then it made it a lot easier for them to progress into the Web Soil Survey. When they come into the school, we tell them that they can bring a soil sample, and we'll do pH, so, and we'll do texture, so they do texture by feel. And then we can do just a real quick phosphorus extraction and analysis. And I love technology, and it's going to work good. And so we're going to be using this in class, because when we do phosphorus analysis, we find out that
we're going to be doing phosphorus extraction in soil or from soil, and we're going to be using Bray-P1 as our extracting solution. And we use Bray-P1 because it will extract the same amount, or approximately the same amount, of phosphorus from the soil that a plant normally would be using. You're welcome.
And I'm not going to take you through the whole thing, but we have a lot of new things that a lot of the students haven't used before, and so we we want to go ahead and take them through how to use these things. And so they see how to use the tip-back flask. They see how to use the funnels, the filter funnels that have just a little hole on the outside that if they don't catch that, they pour their sample out the hole rather than into the flasks and so forth, and how to use the top dispenser. And we go into the spectrophotometer, and we also teach them how to use a standard curve. And so they can follow this through. And the thing that was nice when we were talking to the FFA advisors, because they're wanting to do some of these things, they may not have the equipment that we have, but they can follow step by step and they can adapt it to what they're having it in their own curriculum. So if we can do all this, if we can pull these things together, if we can keep the students engaged and so forth, then down the road we're going to be able to pull in new generations into our medium, into soil science. They're happy, they've enjoyed the process. And when I talked about Alexis, when she sent the thank you, and this is where we pull in some of the English standards, they have to send thank yous. And what did they learn when they were here at Purdue or if I went into their classroom? And some of them draw elaborate pictures, and some of them tell what experiment they liked the best, or that they went home and told their parents. One said that they wanted to know where they got the tattoo and things like that, so they're excited. And when we talk about age, how can you tell that I am older than you are? And they say, you have gray hair, okay? So how can we tell that his soil is older? And we basically say, as soils get older, then they usually get redder, and we don't get into the whole thing for the younger kids, but the older kids, then we talk about the aluminum silicates and so forth. So if we can do all of this, we can pull it together, and we can have a new generation that has a really good awareness of soils, and hopefully, you know, it just goes on and on. So there you go.